This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Is gaming antisocial? Sonic the Hedgehog, one of the most well-known computer game characters in the world, has been celebrating his 20th birthday. But are we now in an age where gaming is socially acceptable? You can play complete strangers online or your best friends in your living room. Is it a waste of time? Motoring journalist Adam Sloman writes for the website gamepeople.co.uk. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Tony.
There he is.
There
yeah.
we go.
And Nikki Hodgson is a freelance journalist. Hello, Nikki.
Hiya.
Adam, first of all, gaming, is it antisocial?
It used to be, I think, but it's not anymore. It's, you know, it's more mainstream now than it's ever been. I mean, I went through the whole spotty teenager sat in the bedroom phase, and, you know, the way games have developed in the last few years means that it's for everyone now. It's not just for geeks like me.
But by the very nature, you do spend a lot of time isolated, don't you, perhaps, from the rest of your family group or your social network?
I don't think that's true anymore. I mean, for instance, I regularly get together with a group of my mates to play Pro Evolution Soccer on the PlayStation. We have sort of 7 or 8 of my mates around my house, pizzas, beer, football, you know, what's not to like?
Well, I think everything, according to Nikki. Hello, Nikki.
Hi.
What's not to like then? Men, beer, pizza, games?
Yeah, well, I just kind of think that gaming in general is a bit of a pseudo hobby. I find it really fascinating that we pay money to pretend to play tennis or pretend to learn to play guitar when we could actually be doing these things for real. And arguably be more therapeutic if you actually did them.
Do you not enjoy films, music, television? You know, they're all forms of escapism.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with escapism. I just think that gaming is not the best use of your energies a lot of the time. There's nothing wrong with having a bit of fun.
I play football, and I play football on the computer as well.
Yeah, me too.
Right, okay. Yeah, but so, I'm not saying that, not necessarily that, you know, one person, certain people do one or the other, but there are lots of people that just kind of play on computers all the time. You know, we've got loads of problems with kids in sport and all that kind of thing.
I think they're very much in the minority nowadays. I mean, something like 60% of gamers now play socially. So it's not just something that people do alone, in isolation. So many people play games now.
I accept that, Adam, but it's not exactly playing out in a field, is it, with a group of 10 people, but challenging someone in Reykjavik to try and beat Laura.
It's always
going to
feel
Laura
better.
Croft.
It's always going to feel better to get to get out and have a proper game of football. But, you know, I mean, I'm nearly 30 now, and I'm way past any physical peak I ever achieved. You know, so, you know, Pro Evolution Soccer is about as close as I'm going to get.
All right.
Don't you think that's a bit of a ridiculous opinion, Adam? Because, I mean, you could
say
easily...
Say it like it is, Nikki, please.
Come on, I mean, like, you could easily... There are people who are, like, running marathons in their 80s and stuff, you know? It's like I think there's this kind of... this couch potato syndrome that creeps in with gameplay. Like you were just saying, like, you get all your friends around, you have beers, you have pizza. I find it really interesting that men play these kind of fighting games eating pizza, while women are encouraged to, like, do yoga and, like, those kind of, like, physical exercise games. Like, isn't Zumba Fitness or something the number one game at the minute?
Yeah, I mean, my wife plays the Zumba
Fitness
game on Kinect.
And there's a really kind of, like, gender divide about, like, what games women are encouraged to play and which games men are. And I tend to think men use it as a bit of an excuse.
I'll get out and walk the dog for an hour, and then, you know, I might sit down of an evening when everything's quiet in the house, once my daughter's gone to bed, and stick the Xbox on, and I might play Colin McRae for an hour or something like that, you know? I think it's a question of context and moderation, and, you know, I think if people...
All right.
Sorry, go on, Tony.
No, go, Adam, all I was just going to say was, I'm just going to wind it out, I want people to give us a call, 0500 909 693, and perhaps on how gaming's affected your life, and you don't necessarily have to be a gamer to do that. I'd love to know if you found yourself... I mean, I certainly, in the very early days of gaming, I got a Commando game for my PC, and I used to sit up till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning playing the thing, and you just do become solitary
addictive.
And addictive. Yeah, they are.
It's easy to slip into that. I mean,
I was playing till 1:30 this morning. Is that a shame?
Sure, and it's like most people are using
on the Xbox.
So how has it affected you or your family? Do you have a child that's currently, you know, that's always in the room playing games? Let me know how games have affected your life, your social network. 0500 909 693. Nikki, go on. Sorry, you were saying.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you know, most people kind of do get into a bit of addictive behaviour with games. And the other thing is that most people use computers all day long, and the idea of coming home and just getting back on it. I mean, how is that good for you?
I think it's very. Exactly. I think it's a big exaggeration to say that most people slip into addiction with it. I don't think that's true at all.
I don't mean like clinical addiction, but I think most people experience a bit of kind of OCD or a bit of, I should be,
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I mean, things like the Nintendo Wii have brought what they call casual gaming into, you know, everyone's home. And I think that's a brilliant thing.
Adam, do you not worry that, you know, in the old days, they used to say, oh, the people just put their kids in front of the telly and it's a cheap way of baby mining, you're not educating the kid now. And now the same thing, pass them a Wii control and they'll sit for hours and parents don't have to take a responsibility.
Again, it's a question of everything in moderation. I mean, you know, my daughter's 18 months old, she'll watch a little bit of CBeebies now and again. But, you know, there's no problem with that. The same with gaming. I mean, games can teach, you know, things to people, you know, from hand-eye coordination to puzzle solving. You know, there's all sorts of games out there, both educational and, you know, the more sort of classic games that people always consider when they think of gaming.
Nikki, do you not feel that you're almost deliberately not embracing the future here? Because, as Adam says, you can use educational tools on these games. They're not all shoot 'em ups.
Well, no, really, because I use technology in every aspect of my daily life, especially with the kind of work that I do. I'm a journalist. I'm a production journalist as well. So, I really have to use loads of different kind of appliances. But it's just, for me, it's the idea that, you know, like I said before, we could be doing certain activities for real. Things like, you know, taking your kids out to the park with a ball, whatever. It doesn't cost anything. It's
I'm all for that. I mean, I will, you know, run around and do whatever and mess about and play games with my daughter, my nieces, whatever. But I also don't think there's any harm in playing, you know, Kinect. I mean, my youngest niece is 4 years old and she loves Kinect sports. She thinks that's hilarious fun.
Yeah.
But if she wants to go out and run around the park, I'll go and do that as well. You know, there's no harm.
I think really it's a difficult argument to have through the generations, this, because of course previous generations didn't have anything like this and they were forced to play out to get their own fun. If those kids, you know, if you go back to the 50s and 60s, if those kids had had a PS3 at hand, they maybe would have done exactly the same.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it does come down to you know, strong parenting and bringing, you know, bringing it into context. You know, of course, if you chuck a game like Grand Theft Auto into the hands of a 4 or 5 year old, you're asking for trouble. And, you know, there's no way that a games console should be used as a babysitter. But in context, I think they're a brilliant tool.